silent.
Okay.
And I think I'm just going to, I'm going to start bringing on many of them, Chair, this time. I wanted to ask on page 186, table 8.6, early childhood development. What are the reasons for the decrease in the budget for this program? Is it because of a national budget cut? What is the reason there? Then also in terms of page 188, outcomes as per the strategic plan, there's an improvement in the learner performance in grades 3, 6, 9 and 12. I wanted to get a sense as to what will be done differently this year to ensure that the province improves in terms of the matric performance. And I think that's just something to be, I don't require a detailed response. The department has spoken about it before, but I just wanted to, not that that to be a consistent issue. But then, with regards to the Eastern Cape, to the decision around the Eastern Cape to allow learners to write matric exams in Khoisa, and given the fact that you have a large Khoisa population in the province, I wanted to get a sense. I know the department indicated, I think it appeared this morning in the media, that they will not be doing the same. I just wanted to get a sense of the reasons as to why the department will not do the same. Because isn't it that they do that it could result in the matric results possibly improving, or not only matric results, but other results improving. I think I'm going to end there. But on Manenberg, just the follow up on the Manenberg primary, I want to thank the department for at least taking us through in terms of the reasons and the context. But the reason I was asking those questions, Chair, is, and I rather stated here, I'm glad that I don't see the media houses. I wanted to speak about, okay, maybe I'm raising it, but in a very, very sensitive context, Chair, that we've been receiving, and it could be a rumor campaign, and a public hearing we want to dispel rumors or be concerned that there's an involvement. I don't know whether it's the department that's engaging, but or whether stakeholders themselves are engaging with them on the project, that some of the gang bosses in the Manenberg area are also being engaged around the project. That is an accusation that we put out there. And hence I do not want to raise it publicly, or but I think we'll just raise it here. Just to get it in there. Those asking those questions around. That's one of the reasons why. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just on page 161, the training, what would the impact be of that increase on the budget around training? Thanks to you today.
Keep people in the system for longer, because that's really the choice you have to make. And then on the issue of Mandelberg, Gartner, I haven't been involved in that discussion, obviously, because they involve schools which may involve me to make some decisions on them, so I'll leave that to my HOD. The issue of Calder, yes, we had a presentation at Kim last week on the Eastern Cape model, and I'm certainly very keen for us to engage with her on it. They've been doing a pilot, and she showed us some interesting figures about how improvement in marks there. And I would like to have to engage on, so I would like to know why we haven't given it this year and what we are going to do about it, because we haven't had a chance to really discuss in detail since Kim, but I do think it's got merit in being able to teach people in her language and then ask the questions in that as well to enable better understanding. And then the training on and the podcast around the department.
We have experienced delays on the hospital, but the school will be complete in, before the end of the calendar year for it, so that we can have a learner occupied in the school in January. We're just following the contractual procedures to get the cost back on.
Sure. Then, Chair, the ECD, for every year we face with a dilemma, and the dilemma is we want to have great art. Fully 100%, in the region of 89% is on that issue. But we are faced with the fact that if we do not find funding, we have to cut teacher posts. So we've got a difficult dilemma of trying to get teacher posts, and so we reduce a little bit the ECD, it's not significant, but a little bit, with a view to ensure that we retain the teachers. Not expand, just retain the teachers. So that's one of those issues. We are as keen as everyone else to get all great R in place. We also, at the same time, whilst we're doing that, it's almost forced upon us. We'll also just take a look at what the developments are around the ECD transition fully through the education department. That's over the next 5 or so years. We'll see how that moves further. Then, Chair, the 369, the educational response is that it's important that we do quite an analysis of what contributes to those issues. We take a look at which subjects course data, we take a look at where the schools are performing poorly or have low pass rates in the check. And so our districts do an analysis. Last year and this year we do a per learner analysis. They look at the grade 12 learners that are at risk, including progress learners, but also learners that have just you know, scraped through, as it were. We take a look at what the needs are for those learners subject-wise, and we give subject support, spring meter, autumn meter, and spring schools. Also, the analysis, as you know, for a question that we have in the matric exam, tells us in the school which areas of the examination paper learners from a particular school even did more poorly or better. And we're able to support that teacher specifically in those areas with that difficulty. During the district visits that I've nearly done, I've done one more district visit for this term on Tuesday, we had a conversation exactly about what their analysis and plans are in supporting matrix. Minister alluded to the fact that the MEOs are no longer, there won't be MEO opportunities this year, or more exam, multiple exam opportunities. Across the nation, the thinking is that that will benefit us a little bit because we don't have many progress learners, so that's a small percentage of progress learners. and we'll see to what extent I hope they'll close to that. Doing is they're doing a dual language exam paper, but there are a number of things that have to be in place to do that. First of all, you have to make sure that the learning material is in its spot all the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not current normal policy. Current normal policy that post-grade 4 is English or class. So I'm not aware at the moment of a significant number of textbooks, for example, that are in its quota for the subjects. Now, I think there's the creation of workbooks. The workbooks are not textbooks, so therefore the quality of that, we have to see what the impact is. I think the opportunity for learners to understand the question better is good, and we'll monitor it very carefully. We're not averse to it. We also need to understand that that means that you have to have teachers that are able to mark those questions of a high quality in that language, if the learner writes it. Also, what's not become clear in the current experiment of the Eastern Cape has been whether the learner may mix languages in the answer. That means the mark has to be able to switch between languages. So we'll watch it very carefully. We'll see what the impact of that is, and then we'll see what it takes. The Eastern Cape has indicated that it's an experiment. They are saying that there are some apparent positives out there. And certainly we want to capitalize on that because it's moving all the way. It's the first year that it's done. Now, again, that means that these learners have not had an 8-year trajectory in being taught in class. Although the Eastern Cape says the teachers are co-teaching and talking class in the class anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that arises is one of the things that has come to the fore over many years. When you set the paper in COSA, other than COSA own language, the dialects are fairly different in different parts of the country. It's not so necessarily for Sotho or for other languages. So it's a complicated process that we watch very carefully. If there's obviously to be gained from it, we'll consider how to do that. But there has to be change in laws and regulations to enable it. At the moment, under experimental role is actually there again. I want to say just that in the context of COSA own language subject learners in our province, the National DG made a comment yesterday, for example, that COSA has a regress, as Afrikaans is, but in this province we've got a 99% pass rate in COSA own language and a 95% in pass language and 50%. So again, it's a statement that is rather vague in that context. There's also something that is not quite clear in this experiment. And we do think that when there's an experiment of this nature that's intended in the short term to assist learners, the question is, are these learners also going to be able to study in COSA in tertiary institutions? Because they cannot learn to study in English. So are there enough universities, for example, deal with them all the way to postgraduate degree, for example. I'm sure that will develop in this nation. If you take into the development of the council for the years, that's the way it happens. And the African languages now do massively follow that trajectory, and I think it's praiseworthy that there's an effort done in this space. But I do want to say that the implications of all of that has to be carefully thought through, and I hope the Eastern Cape has. Then, Mannenberg, thank you again for that question. The WCD is not involved in Cancross consultations. So if it is, I'm not sure where it is or where it is. But I do want to say that there have sometimes been schools that are in areas where there are multiple gangs that have not been vandalized because of the school community engaging with gangs, getting an agreement that the gangs leave schools alone. In so many communities at the moment, the schools become the gang turf. I mean, this week again, there were instances where, for example, there was a turf about who's selling, which gang is selling cigarettes and dafa at what part of the school grounds. I mean, that is just not on. And if we want to keep our school areas actually learning sites, got to get that out of the way. I think it's more of a societal conversation and not necessarily an education department negotiating with them. But we, as with any other part of society, we've got to keep our schools safe, and I think it's a conversation that has to be elevated in many ways. And then the decrease in the training budget, Chair, it's not a large amount. of the training that happens in districts, which is not necessarily seen to be impactful, and we will rather move to supporting teachers in the classroom, which is far more impactful than the professional support, which is individualized in the classroom. So that's a little bit of the shift of that money to be done with the profile.
Thank you.
It's a response, because I also posed the question, Chair. The response is no. One does not, when one asks about the improvement in matric results and urges for improved matric results, you are not saying that you want the department to have learners to drop out. And it's not mutually excuse. It's not pitting one against the other. Education is a holistic concept. So I want to put on record that I'm not in any sense indicating that that must happen, that the department must ensure that there is stuff. But in fact, we believe that we can improve matric results considerably and the quality thereof if you ensure that you work on retention and that learners are retained in the system. So I just want to put on record that.
That in October last year, they are going to go to school.
the high school. I would like to know what is it because of finance that we moved it so far? Because the land is being fenced, but there's no movement. It leads us to a situation where you have high school learners in a mobile structure on the same premises as the primary school learners, which is a very unhealthy situation. And I think the time needs to maybe relook at what we are planning to do. But Chair, with regard to infrastructure, then can I raise this in the context of what has been said in terms of the language? Will you allow me? I just need to begin to understand what the department's plans are with regard to digital elements. They are transported from one area to the other because of the schools in the area that doesn't allow for them. It links to the issue that was raised with regard to the Eastern Cape province and what they're planning to do, but it also links to how we plan to ensure that our learners are able to be taught and learn in the mother tongue, to enable themselves from a grade R level, maybe to grade 12, to enable themselves, to empower themselves to have a better result at the end of the day. It assists them and to assist the department to ensure that we up the game in terms of educating our kids moving forward. Chair, I think the other questions that I have are put in writing, and then I will then check it from there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Linda Simon. I'm a councillor of the city of Cape Town, representing the Blackheath cultural area. I would like to comment on what the Minister of SSB was saying around the buses that they don't have money. That I cannot understand that important departments don't have money, and I don't know how they matter, but they don't have money to build schools, and that's where the crime started to come in. And the other thing that I also wanted to make a thing to the Minister of SSB, they figures are wrong for children to be played. Because yesterday I came from Happy Valley, Blackheath area. Since last year there was more than 200 children that was not placed. And while I was there sitting with 200 city officials for a site visit, there was 5 children of the age of 10, 11, and 3 hours, I think, who go around the corner and smoke Dhaka because they are not placed at school yet. And the parents struggle to get them into school, and also struggle to affect our social development to assist keep but until the partner can place them. And also why schools are not safe for our kids is because of the Bambanani who are taking away from the schools. That was the response of the minister and HSD. Coming to my clarity, Jay, on page 145, the third one from the bottom, it says Happy Valley Primary School number 2. Happy Valley never ever had a school. The school called now Happy Valley, which is built in Silver Sand, is not even accommodate a quarter of the kids that stay in Happy Valley. And the land for the school in Happy Valley, they promised them to build there, to stay there, but they built in Silver Sand in another ward. They built the Happy Valley. Now let's see Happy Valley primary school number 2. Were also started in 2023, which is really a very long time to get into it. There's development taking place. There's another development that starts in July. They call them the Belmont housing project. This is a lot of houses that involve people moving in from other areas into their no schools. And if the department came in for now, then at least put temporary classes in for the kids just to accommodate them, to get them off the street, into the school, so that the crime can try to combat crime that you wanted them for, what them to be able to learn. And why children are so unbearable at school is because they can't read and write. I was part of a project because the class are overcrowded, there are 45, 46 children in one class, the teachers cannot manage the children. Now they only concentrate on those who perform and can read and write and parents assist the thing. The other parents don't have the ability to assist those kids. If I was part of our those program, they were trying to help to read with the children. And while they're trying to do that, the crime at the school coming down because the child understands now how to read and what to do at school. That's why if we can just get programs and back to school, sports back to school, so that the children can learn and make it a must for child to participate at sports at school. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I just want to know from you the 200 unplaced learners that you talked about of last year. Are they now placed?
No, ma'am. No, Madam Chair. I was here yesterday while I was waiting for the official, for the street light. They were busy writing the names. The parents were there with them, and they were also busy writing the names of the kids. So I wanted to give it to me so they can give. We tried, they took three children in Happy Valley. They were placed four. There are three kids in grade three. They are starting to speak Monday, but in quarter classes because they have no place for them. And those three children are struggling, and their friends are supposed to assist them. And there's only one child in the second year now. He cannot enter school for grade six. We also try to assist for further high school, Blackie Line, who is the closest home to can walk to school to us for assistance, but in the department can assist, we will be very grateful.
Thank you, Chief. My name is Lolusa Tambombo. I'm coming from the area of Expense in Atlantis. My question is one. Atlantis was established in the late 90s, and now until now there is not even a primary school in that area. But the initiative that has been done by the community of that area, they tried to engage with the Department of Education and ask how come that the population of plus or minus 16,000 and the children which is plus or minus 11,000, that there is not even a primary base that basic need of the children. Now they are the challenge that they are having. In our area, our children are going to Merlinos primary school. And now there's not even a enough transport for them. And we've been trying to engage with the department, and we were promised that by the latest of last year, they're going to start with a temporary school, and we have tried to identify a piece of land, and we engage with the department of, with all the relevant departments. And then they promised us, and even the city of Cape Town has listed the land for the school, for temporary school, but there is nothing that is happening now, even now. And even those children who are staying in the area of Eastern, in Atlantis, now they have to travel and pay money to travel to Atlantis North to go and have the basic needs. Now, in that area, they have to pay a lot of money, and the road is not safe in such an extent that the children were not at an intersection, and there is not even a healthy, safety officials to monitor the speed of the transport in that area. No robots, nothing. Now, in fact, the children are still in critical conditions. Some of the children are in the hospital giving fighting for their lives because there is no school in that area. And now the only question that I want to know, the city has released the land. When is the department going to start to build? Because we did engage with them, said we can't wait for 2025 up to 2027. Because that particular place was there since late 90s, from 1999 or 98. But the population is too high now. We need assistance. I do not want to talk anything about that.
Yes. Thank you.
you have received, that you are corresponding or you were corresponding. Do you have a correspondence in writing with you?
Thank you, Chairperson. We do have the, but I didn't bring them now. But I can make a plan to bring it if you need them. So that is our life, our basic needs of our children can be the best priority for this government.
I just didn't get your name. What was your designation, did you say? Are you talking on behalf of the community or your company?
My name is Nolusa Fembombo. I stay in the area of Cape Town in Atlantis. I'm a public rep. I'm also a member of the ANC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Nkomo Zikiwe, the Acting Provincial Secretary of Cosa Sumelo Sumele. It's a great pleasure to be sitting here and being awarded this opportunity to engage with the Department of Education in the province. But again, we need to extend our deepest disappointment in people whom were impacted as young people of this country, as journalists, as parents, because of...
Excuse me.
Yes.
You are going to take us to a page where you are talking from.
No.
From the budget or from the strategic...
Okay. I'm engaging on discussions that are going to be here by the end of the observation team.
Just say that again?
I'm giving an input on engagement that will be made by the NEC and also the agency. On the treatment of learners and safety and the issue of language. That's
are you going to ask questions around
yes.
it?
Okay.
I'm listening to your questions.
Okay, thank you very much. First of all, we're sitting with a number of 1,265 of unplaced learners, of which we're not even sure if that number is still 1,265. Because there is a system of an online application and also there is that kind of manual. I want to put it on record that communities and even parents do not stop going to schools and enforcing on principles that they must accept learners. Because it cannot be correct that when a parent who stays in Kailish or who stays elsewhere applies for a school or a bunch of boys or a bunch of girls or anyone in the CPC, that will be told that they are already reached their number when there is only 25 learners at that school. Not saying that they can't afford to pay.
So can I stop you? You indicated that you are going to ask the questions that you alluded to.
Yes.
Now you're making a statement in what you are saying. I want you to please get to the questions that you would wanted to ask.
So
please can you get to that?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, no, basically my question is that the department has already opened applications for the year 2021. Now, we have not yet any clear parents because what I would expect was that on the number of 1,265, there would be of first preference when it comes to the year of 2021. Because it is clear, not all of them are going to get treatment for this year. Some do not even apply, some will walk in. So it would be of utmost importance that that number or all those learners that the department has record already they put them as first priority and a statement for the year 2021 if they do not get treatment for the year. That is one. And on the issue of safety, what is the core role of responsibility of the state school sector in the Department of Education? Because we hear that what they always say is that a school is in the community of which it is the responsibility of the community to keep the school safe, but sometimes inside the school premises, then that is the responsibility of the department. So what is the main core and function of the safe school sector in the department? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Oscar Jacobs. I am a community activist residing in Alfred. I first want to take the opportunity to thank Inver Say for informing us as members of the public about this and the opportunity to engage with the department and the MEC. So I want to commend you on that because we don't know about these things, so thank you for that. Jefferson, on in the annual performance plan on page 7, there's mention of the strategic priorities over the next 5 years. And it speaks to the improving school functionality and improving the quality of teaching in classrooms. Now earlier on you asked a question regarding how teachers cope in relation to overcrowded classrooms and if there are platforms for them to speak or to raise their issues. Now I can tell you that teachers are afraid of raising their issues because they're afraid of being victimized. Just not so long ago in the community of Alta, we were very concerned regarding overcrowding. And if we are serious about these priorities that are listed here, we need to be addressing these, you know, issues so that we are able to actually perform what we are saying within this particular document. So with that said, I think when it comes to planning, we know each year, I'm going to use high schools as an example because that's the best example. We know how many grade 7 learners there are. So we have an idea of how many grade 8 learners we're going to expect. So we can't sit with the same problem year on year, having in high schools in particular, not having places where we know that these are the amount of learners. And I'll make an example of our faith. In our case, we have 5 primary schools, we only have 2 high schools that accommodate these schools. And there's a massive challenge. Now the principal is told by the Department of Education that he should have known when to have stopped. But if he doesn't take on learners, where do learners then go? So at the end of the day, we need to plan better so that we don't have the same problems when it comes to. And yes, I understand that the department says that they don't have funds, but at the end of the day, when we refer to ourselves as the best run province, we also need to be able to live that out. That's just my personal view. But coming to this, and speaking to this, there are just 2 other issues that I want to raise. I also want to thank the MEC for alluding that people can actually manually apply because that information is not out in the community. So even schools tell people, so that's the message that I'll take back to my community. So thanks, I'm grateful for being here, so now I know that, I can share that. But then coming to page 143, the annexure that speaks to the infrastructure project. So I've looked through infrastructure projects, I've looked from page 143 to 146, and it outlines the project that the department will embark on from this financial year up until 2029-2030. And my question is to the MEC, because in a response to us as a community, she indicated that we will be having a new high school that will be built, that will offer technical and vocational skills. But within this budget for the next 10 years, there is nothing. So we don't want to be given promises and pipe dreams. We want things to be happening and materialized. So I think with that said, I would want to appeal to the MEC to come out and engage with the community on this, because we don't want promises, we want results. So it hasn't been captured within this budget. The last issue that I want to raise is on page 156, which I see that there is a section within this that deals with, I think it's fencing, but there's also a budget for instances, I'm not too sure how disasters. So Central Primary School in had a piece of their thing being blown over. The school has followed the process in terms of applying to the department to have a fix. We're almost at the end of the first term, and it hasn't been fixed. Kids are leaving the school.
When did it happen?
It happened in the beginning of the term. It happened in the beginning of the term. And the MHC is aware of this because I made her aware of it through social media, because that's the only platform or means of me engaging with her. But the school followed the process of informing the department, and it still hasn't been fixed. And it also poses because other people that aren't part and parcel of the school are able to access the school, and it's really a safety risk for both teachers and learners. And I've seen now people that aren't part of the school.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Was that it?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So, sorry, Chair, just a last one. You've spoken to, and if you allow me, Chairperson, you've spoken about the independent assessment. I'm not too sure what the term is or the word is that you call it. But the only thing that I want to know is that in the assessment of schools, you stated that it's independent. Do they also engage with the community when they do the assessment of schools? That's what I want to know. Thank you. Yeah.
Email us anytime with any issues of concern, and we'll certainly respond to you.
might not be in the way you want it to, but we will respond. As far as grade 8, no, we don't always know how much. We do know how many we have, and we don't have many in our high school for the number of primary schools, that is true. But it's not only a case of knowing we're going to have X number of grade 8. We have 23,000 extra children this year, every year it's the same story. So it's not to go. And even if we do, we can only provide what we get money. So we can't just say we're going to have extra 23,000 while we need extra 23 schools. We can't build another 23 schools in a year. It's not possible. Even if we had money, I don't think there are enough companies to be able to build them. Because that's another concern that we have at the moment too, is the number of companies that are not really coping very well in the business environment. So one of them is currently under business rescue, one of the biggest construction companies. And another one is we've also having problems. So there aren't enough companies to build even if we had them. So it isn't quite as simple as that. I know it sounds like trippy, but it isn't. And the second one, vocational, is on the plan. It's on page 144. The domestic program is that is going to be repurposed to intersect school vocation. So that is there. Same answer, but we say we have no funds. Well, we haven't. We've got to do what we have available, and we have to try and make a stretch into things where it can't actually stretch. But we, I think we did to do a very good job, but it's not an easy task. So very similar answer, I just need to delegate one.
I think I'll ask Mr. Sahib to speak about the whole gap in the schools in a minute. I just want to make a few comments in my chair. First of all, I've got great understanding about the concerns that particularly the community activists and councillors have about the interest of your parents in your schools. I know you're under pressure the whole time. I know that the parents have high demands on you. And it's trying to balance the specific interests and demands of a particular area versus the whole province's demands. And there's the priority when you haven't got enough to go around everywhere. There are a few things I think that one has to note. For example, I understand I would like every child in school, because if they're not in school, it causes a whole host, for me, more safety issues. But the comment I think was Simon would you say that because it's not in school, they get smoked around the corner, I'm afraid that's not true. They smoke duffel whether they're in school or out of school. In fact, they bring duffel on to school. So it's not because they're not in school that they smoke duffel. It's a whole societal issue that impacts everywhere and makes the life of teachers in schools difficult. However, we still have to get those kids into school. We've got to get them into school as quickly as possible. I would very much like to engage with you on our wrong figures. Mm-hmm. The only figures that could be wrong is people that come in after they've gone through the process of the, I mean, the enrollment closes in March for next year. So by then we have figures. Whatever happens after that are people that are not meeting the normal enrollment process, that place challenges on us. And unfortunately then the public and others think we haven't planned, because we've actually planned, but that actually planned for changes dramatically from March to the where we stand now. The other interesting thing, Mr. Jacobs, is you mentioned the five primary schools to high school. We've got to remember that the primary school consists of 8 grades, R1 to 7. And the high school consists of 5 grades, 8 to 12. So there will be less high schools than primary schools in that ratio. But whether 5 to 2 is right is a different question. And that adding to that space. And so Melissa's made reference to the intent of trying to meet that community need to technical education, which I think is in fact, a forward planning intent in also creating appropriate education. Melissa alluded to the fact that we ought to be able to plan for the grade 8 numbers. I don't want to say much more about that, other than that, of course, overcrowding impacts on school functionality, overcrowding impacts on quality of teaching, and it's our job as a department when we can do nothing about the overcrowding because we're faced with that reality, is how we support our teachers and others. One of those ways is to get the community to help us to keep kids more disciplined, because parents aren't helping. Parents are not teaching values for the kids in many instances. I mean, it's a generalization, we know. But if there's a solid message from the entire society about kids behaving themselves, kids not smoking dust, kids not engaging in gang violence, we seem to accept that society and education was resolved. has really difficulty there with you. So I'm seeking a voice that in fact helps us so that the reality of overcrowding becomes less of an issue for teachers. I think that's part of the challenge. The problem with grade 8 is that you know how many grade 7s you have, of course. But every year there's mammoth grade 8 kids coming to this province for high school, largely. So the majority of them coming grade 8 or grade 10, you can't factor it unless they've enrolled by March, which they haven't. So that's part of the challenge we face. Also, of course, grade 7 does automatically all go to grade 8 for some repeats, etc. But that's a lesser issue there, but the impact on the grade 7s again as well, classrooms. But the trends and the patterns we have a good understanding of. The school evaluation authority, the intent is that when they don't engage with the community when they are in the school, but they report amongst other students. For example, reports will become public documents on the school evaluation authority website, and it is reader friendly so that parents and communities can engage with the evaluation outcomes of the school. I'm going to ask the society to speak to Sentinel's fence issues around the sum and other challenges.
Look at the extent of the fence damage at Sentinel Primary, but the mechanisms and perhaps understanding, I think, the options for the school to use its norms and standards depending on the extent of damage. Or engage the department to defend that fence. There are options, as we'll revert to the colleague on the situation at Central. But perhaps for the building of understanding, because we spoke earlier about fences as well, almost immediately, the context of our planning of the 150 fences is in the context of us supporting the safety drive and providing high security perimeter fencing, and that's a process and a program of tackling the perimeter fencing in the town. In a market or in addition to that, the ongoing replacement of fences that exist, that are vandalized or broken, whatever, there are programs of work to continue to repair those, and I've alluded to the different mechanisms for doing that. So in case of Central, we'll definitely revert, and I'm going to engage from our office on timings for that particular repair. As regards my cover also by the HOD and the Minister in acknowledging the proactive engagement by the communities, particularly in the street of Red Sands first. I acknowledge the work here to work, join hands and work with the city to identify land for the Red Sands community, understanding of course the challenges around safety and the transport we have landed. We have absolutely endeavored and continue to do so with the city. I believe the information available to communities that the city have identified the land. The caution that I would necessarily have to add, and happy to then take this conversation forward, is that the land acquisition of the land is the first process, and as we've seen with Mufuleni, the activation of services, water and electricity, is actually the bigger issue. And so context, as it was rural earlier, whether it is Mufuleni, which should now deliver the mobile school app, or whether it's Wetlands Primary School, the availability of land, which the department on exception basis had to lease from the city, the activation of services of electricity and water are absolutely key, and we've learned big lessons around temporary toilet solutions, for example, and the impact that has on the functionality of the school. So we don't want to repeat some of the, or we want to learn from those challenges going forward. The timing for this one, if the land is able to, if we're able to secure the land and activate the services, we have made budgetary provision for a school for the time and time. And so we'll engage as we agreed to do then. In the case of perhaps broader, the question was around Happy Valley. Perhaps just understanding again, from this misread the statement, the planning of Happy Valley Primary School is in fact starting in September 21, not 23. The actual plan for the plan completion date, as the 140 page 145 of the APP says, starts September 21 in December 23. That's again preliminary planning. The new convention assigned to the request to Happy Valley Primary School number 2, we have, and this also to the councillor and to the chair, the reference to the primary school on page 147 of the APP. There have been extensive engagements with communities and representatives of the various communities of Mufuleni, Fairdale, and as we progress it, Happy Valley, yesterday, we need to continue that. The conversation is in the part of continuous plan to deliver schools to an area that's certainly under pressure. Our decision to build the schools at Fairdale, or at Silver Sands as it were, was also complemented with the decision and the agreement to build a temporary primary school at Millennium. So we've done that. The next priority agreed was the F1 Mufulene High School, which is started again. We've ring-fenced the land. Through the chair, we've acquired the land, we've ring-fenced or protected it and put the fence around, so the work is definitely ongoing, and as the budget plan shows, the ongoing fulfillment and execution of that priority. Well, the high school in Mufulene is next up, and then you see what's subject to land and service availability at the Valley Primary School. So the broader plan for the Mufulene, and then as we extend it to the Silver Sands, and then a very under pressure area in East River, is that we'll sequence as we get land, and if there are concerns or questions around that sequence or that programming, then I'm happy to include, if you're not already included in the stakeholder engagement, around that particular plan. But it is north and east, and the budget plan will show that, Chief. The budget plan focuses and prioritizes the metro districts of east and north, understanding that there's a lot of pressure points. And so hopefully we'll show in the budget plan and the priorities on the And then I think, I think I've covered all of those. I'd like to give it back to you. Thank you.
Just perhaps, I'm not sure that we responded to Kosas's question on the safety issues. I just want to indicate that the school safety focus for the department is based on, as you correctly say, trying to keep people safe at school. And so that includes the benches, high security benches that we spoke about. It includes, in particularly key areas, is there enough money to do all 1,500 schools appropriately, but in high-risk areas, access control through electric gates, TV, CCTV cameras, for example, that can give early warning at other sites. This very week, I saw again a video of, you know, pre-warning of people that into the school by climbing over three fences. I mean, they want to get in, they want to get in. But at least it was captured on CCTV and security could preempt any potential challenges. So the safety issues that are in place are not often alluded to. It's when something goes wrong that it becomes a big challenge and a big problem. My obvious concern is that there's no way that you can ensure total safety of the school because it's not a house, it's fences, people have fences. I mean, I take a look at the youngsters, for example, that bring weapons onto school ground. There's just no way, despite one of the safety things is metal detectors, for example, that we use in certain areas. So there are a whole host of safety issues. But if we don't get our society and our community right, it will continue to be a huge challenge.
Thank you very much. I am cautioned not to give you any forecast as to this change.
Just for clarity, Chairperson. On the issue of admission.
Excuse me?
On the issue of admission.
You're not going to make a statement.
No, I'm not
going to
make a statement.
Just turn
it off.
Okay, so I'm allowing you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know, because obviously, we're going back to the community of us now, in terms of the manual application and the online application. So no preference will be given to people that are going to be online and to manual. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
I think when we spoke about that, perhaps so that probably wasn't
clear. But the manifest also answered, I think, to him because of the answer. You want to know?
My understanding is that they're not going to consult the entire community, they consult the school community. So they consult parents, they consult the HPDs, and people directly involved in the school.
Someone asked earlier about the timelines for the registration and admission. If you go onto the WCND website, and the circular 43 of 2019 give you timelines of the entire registration process.
That's what they intend for to give you better understanding. Yes. Minister, I will give you an opportunity.
share what we do, because I think a lot of the times people don't really understand how difficult it actually is to try and balance all the needs we have. So thank you to everybody and to my team as well for all their hard work and preparing.
With that said, I want to say thank you. Please drive safely. We'll be able to